Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The Australian Federation of Islamic Councils was established in 1963. They publicly state that they are the umbrella organisation for Australian Muslims. They also claim to be a democratic organisation with management committee members elected every 3 years. AFIC currently operates 8 schools across Australia, which receive approximately $50 million of government funding annually. As early as 1982, findings by an Australian Royal Commission into the meat industry found that AFIC had poor financial and administrative performance. Since then, the organisation has been plagued with searing headlines and countless reports of financial mismanagement. In 2005, it was alleged that AFIC had given unapproved loans of $1 million to charities. In 2006, SBS reported that AFIC had assets frozen due to being unable to show that its board was properly elected. In 2010, there was reports of fraud to the tune of several millions of dollars by administrators of an AFIC school. In 2012, Australia's largest Islamic school, Malik Fahad, was ordered to pay back $9 million of public funding that was diverted to AFIC. More recently, $20 million of government funding was frozen from Malik Fahad, which created a storm of accusations, board changes and infighting. There are many more scandals, with students being dismissed from schools via SMS in South Australia, and the long-serving principal of the Brisbane school going to police after uncovering what he believed to be evidence of fraud. In a recent shake-up at AFIC, the president, Hafiz Qassem, has stepped down from his role, recommending former secretary Qaisar Trad as his successor. Qaisar joins me in the studio. Mr. Trad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for joining us.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's my pleasure, and thank you for the invitation and the opportunity.
Now, AFIC states that they are representing Islam and Muslims at a national and international level. On your recent press release, you also claim that AFIC is the peak body for Australian Muslims. Even though Australian Muslims don't vote for AFIC leadership positions, on what basis are these claims made?
AFIC is made up of, it's a three-tier structure. We have ordinary members like myself and yourself. We can join a society. The society joins another body called the State Council. In New South Wales, we've had an unfortunate situation where we had more than one council representing the Muslims of the state of New South Wales because there were division in New South Wales. Most other states, there's only one council representing them. Those councils get together and they form the AFIC, the structure of AFIC. The executive committee of AFIC is voted for by the chairman of the state councils. The chairman of the state councils are voted for by the member societies, by the presidents of the member societies. The member societies, as you know, if they're democratic or if they practice shura, they are voted by the ordinary members of the society, who normally are the worshippers in the mosque or who have joined the society as members.
Now, I have read some reports that in New South Wales there was a period of 8 years where there was no annual meetings. ACT, there was 4 years where there was no annual meetings held. How can these elections be legitimate if these meetings are not being held?
Brother Malaz, you know the hadith of our Prophet Kama takunu yuwalla alaykum. As you are, so will be your leaders. If the grassroots are not vigilant, and if they don't bring their leadership to account, then this is a problem that's going to happen. Now, when we saw this problem in the Council of New South Wales, AFIC moved very quickly, and we sacked that council. That council, we've been involved in some legal battles with that council, but that council is effectively dismissed. We've asked the member societies to form another council. Now, what they've done in the period is they've elected an interim committee, and they've participated in our meetings. We want every society that is a member of AFIC to be active, to be serving the community. We don't want paper societies. We don't want any tricks. We want everything to be legitimate. We want everything to be for the service of Islam and the Muslim community.
Now, the peak body of Australian Muslims is quite a big claim. Most Australian Muslims may see ANIC as the largest assembly of imams in the country as the peak Muslim body. How would you respond to this?
We are the peak body because every Muslim society can become a member. Those who choose not to become a member, it's up to them. We are not made up of imams, but imams work for our member societies. We, in fact, pay the salaries of some of the imams. For example, we have imams in remote areas, in areas where there's a small number of Muslims, very small, that they cannot meet the bills. AFIC pays the bill for these imams. A number of mosques in remote areas, AFIC contributes generously to these places. And AFIC has established 8 schools around the country, teaching about 8,000 of our Muslim children. Nobody has this achievement. Nobody in Australia has such a tremendous achievement. In fact, I don't know any other society in any other minority Muslim country, or basically majority non-Muslims, that can make such a claim, that has achieved so much in its history in those particular countries.
Now, speaking of these schools, in the past, AFIC has been investigated by the ATO, the police, fraud squad and education departments. Several past AFIC school principals have also contacted authorities to report misuse of funds, including Dr. Rifat Al-Haj in Sydney and Dr. Mubarak Noor in Brisbane. Now that you are president of AFIC, what is your commitment to cleaning up the organisation and preventing any future scandals?
For those who know me, they know I'm as straight as as can be. I don't tolerate corruption at any level. I will not tolerate corruption, and I will make sure that my committee and myself will always run a clean operation. If we find any corruption, we will address it.
So is there a particular process that you have within the organisation to make sure that this corruption is weeded out?
Look, this organisation is more than 50 years old. We have a very strong constitution that addresses these areas where you can actually tackle corruption and weed it out and bring people to account. Now, we all know that those who are involved in societies and the management of societies, they know that there are different levels of behaviour that may appear like corruption. I mean, we have the hadith of our Prophet ﷺ that may Allah have mercy on a person who deals with the shubha. If there's any suspicion about him, he actually addresses it and explains, so to remove that suspicion. Now, a lot of the complaints about members, about different societies and different committees are based on suspicion. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, avoid much suspicion because a lot of it is
now,
wrong.
Let's focus on a more current issue, this story of Malik Fahad, which is one of the biggest issues that AFIC has faced recently. And it's also an issue that will decide the fate of Australia's largest Islamic school with over 2,400 students. Can you give us a current summary of the situation with Malik Fahad at the moment?
Well, this is my highest priority at the moment, to fix the issues of Malik Fahad. The issues of Malik Fahad were that AFIC relinquished its control over the school and appointed an interim committee with a mandate to advertise and bring properly qualified people from within the Muslim community to act as board members of this company that's called Malik Fahad that's supposed to operate the school.
Does that mean that AFIC is no longer involved in the operation of the school?
AFIC is no longer involved in the operation of any of its schools. In fact, even before, the involvement of AFIC was limited. The executive committee of AFIC never ran the schools. What happened was AFIC chose board members. Some of them were members of the AFIC Exco. Most of them were not. Under the leadership of Haj Hafiz Qasim, who just resigned recently and nominated me to take his position, he reduced the number of AFIC representatives on the schools to two. He started a policy to reduce them. Now, as the landlord, the owner, the group that established those schools, it makes perfect sense that we have representation on the board to make sure that these schools remain in the right direction. They remain Islamic schools. Nobody secularizes them. Nobody diverts their direction towards the views or the ideas or the ideologies of some cult or some minority that is not part of the mainstream.
Now, it was reported in March this year that a Deloitte audit of the school ordered by the federal government found that Amjad Mahmood, who was a president of AFIC, was paid $500,000 of non-existent management services to Malik Fahad. Is there any plan on the way to recover these funds from him?
Okay. This particular report identified two people saying that they were paid money for services that may not have been necessary or for services that had not been properly identified. And you're talking about figures, similar figures. Each one got about $500,000 each. This $500,000 was for a period of about 4 years. Now, what the Deloitte's audit did not look into is who authorised these payments. These are not AFIC people. Both of these individuals that were referred to in the audit, they are not part of the AFIC Executive Committee. They were employed by the school. They were contracted by the school itself. So nobody can rightly lay any finger of blame on AFIC for this particular appointment. AFIC never appointed the employees of the school. We did not appoint the teachers. We do not appoint the teachers at the school. We don't appoint the contractors at the school. We only have a limited say, or had in the past, a limited say with respect to the appointment of the principal of the school.
Now, in an interview you had with ABC earlier this year, you asked if AFIC was treating the school as a cash cow, and your response was AFIC has not done that, but that some individuals within AFIC felt that there was a potential, that this was a potential source of income. Have those members now been removed?
Look, the schools are a source of income. There is no denying that the schools are a source of income. We charge rent. We charge rent to this school. It's a source of income to AFIC. How else can we fund our activities? How else can we build other schools? We charge rent.
It's a source of income. Is it inflated rent or is it reasonable rent?
No, it's very reasonable rent. Now, and I'll prove that to the listeners right now. Have a look at the fees charged by the Muslim schools around Sydney. Ethic School, Malik Fahd School, charged the lowest fees of any other school around Sydney. There was one school that had similar fees. The rest of them are much more. Some of them charge double what Malik Fahd charges. Some of them more than double. You show me a school that charges so little and up until recently was in the top 10 of schools in New South Wales and tell me that there must be some mismanagement. No, the school was managed very well.
So you're saying there is no mismanagement when it comes to Malik Fahd?
No.
On the part of
the school, the school dropped in the rating when the state government withheld $4.5 million of annual funding.
For what reason?
Your listeners don't know some of these facts. The school actually costs us, or used to cost us, now it doesn't, $28 million a year to run. $28 million. That's a lot of money for the school, with all three campuses. And these are operational expenses, including teacher salaries and the various other expenses. The mismanagement in the past is not AFIC. AFIC only had a say to ratify the board members. The way the constitutions of the schools were before they were changed, is that the board of the school would nominate to AFIC. We would like to nominate this person. AFIC ratifies that nomination. AFIC had that level of power at that time. Now AFIC does not have that power. One of the government conditions is that the school board appoints itself. AFIC does not have the power to appoint anymore.
So the interim board, is this that's currently in place, is that likely to become the permanent board?
It shouldn't, and what we've seen so far, I personally am not happy at all with the conduct of this interim board. I'm not happy at all with the way new board members are appointed. The mandate of the interim board, which was initially three people plus the principal, was to advertise for a business manager and advertise for board members and select the right people. They haven't done that.
So what would it look like? What would it physically look like, you know, the school being completely run separate from AFIC? Is it simply just the school paying AFIC rent?
Well, we have five other schools around the country that are currently funded by the government that are run in this same way. They pay AFIC the rent. AFIC has loaned them money over the years. And what a lot of listeners don't know is that as we established those schools and we collected money from other sources, to make these schools viable, we had to give them millions and millions of dollars, which we later wrote off to prove to the government that these schools are financially viable. Each and every one of these schools has cost AFIC money, that millions and millions that will never be recovered because we were forced to write them off, otherwise the government wouldn't have given funding. Now we're in a different situation altogether. Everything that AFIC has done with respect to the schools, from what I've seen so far, is perfectly within the law. What happened is... it's most unfortunate, and this is the reality of Muslims in Australia. You get a disgruntled employee of any organisation. If they complain, people take him with a grain of salt. They don't believe him immediately. But when the complainant is complaining about a Muslim organisation, even Muslims start to believe him.
This is the government complaining. This is not just simply a disgruntled employee.
The government's complaint was based on the information from disgruntled employees, which most of which was assumptions.
And the financial audits?
The financial audits identified, as I've told you, I'll give you one example. One of our schools, they found it as breaching the not-for-profit provision for two payments. One of them was $265 to the principal, and the other was to pay for a bus operator during the school holidays. When I investigated those payments, they made a finding on the basis of a total of $1,000. That's how nitpicking they were. When I investigated those payments, the principal actually... was reimbursed $265 for attending a meeting with the government itself to learn about good governance and compliance. We told them that after they made the decision. Now they say, oh, okay, we didn't realise. What was wrong? There was something wrong. What was wrong at that time is that the school didn't keep adequate records. They tried to cut costs and save money. They didn't adequately note that in their filing system. The issue with the bus driver, the same thing. He had converted his lease and they were leasing the bus from him. Again, inadequate paperwork. The government has acknowledged that with respect to that school, that they made a mistake. The Deloitte's audit, they were right only in so far that they couldn't find the paperwork. But was there theft in that particular school? No, there wasn't theft. It was okay, just...
So moving on, Hafiz Qasim was the president for the past decade.
No, not the past decade. He's been on the executive committee for the past decade. But he's only been president for 4 years and a few months.
So one of the questions that many of the viewers would be having now, is this a musical chairs of who becomes the president?
No, Hafiz Qasim is no longer on the executive committee at all. We have asked him to be available as an advisor. We can ring him up, go to him and ask him for advice. completely unpaid, completely honorary position.
So given this, the scandals and allegations that came to light during his time as president, do you think this is a good idea?
Look, Hafiz Qasim is probably one of the most knowledgeable people in the country about all the issues affecting Malik Fahd and his schools. He is an asset. No matter what some people feel about him, he is an asset. And it is during his time that the process of cleaning up AFIC started in a very, very serious way. And he is the person who took people to court for excessive claims.
Now, speaking of court, there has been some very public infighting in the past with AFIC members. Do you know how much of AFIC funding has been spent on legal fees for these internal battles?
Look, a lot of money has been spent on legal fees, and a lot more is going to be spent on legal fees. There is no escaping that. One of the main reasons for that is that we as Muslims have not established a proper arbitration body that we can go to that can have a binding decision. Once we establish something that the whole community respects...
But if AFIC is the peak body, where does this arbitration body come in?
Look, we have to work on it. And once we resolve the issue of the schools, there's a number of issues. I presented in the last budget, once we resolve some of the pressing problems of Malik Fahd School in particular, in our budget, we're going to embark on a very comprehensive public awareness campaign. We're going to embark on a comprehensive review of the Constitution. We're going to embark on a review of so many of the things that we do. And above all these, the forefront matters that we're going to deal with is trying to work as much as we can to unite our community.
Do you have a figure for the legal fees that's been spent by AFIC?
Oh, look, I have figures. If you're talking about the last year or so, it's been about $500,000.
And before that?
I don't have the figures for before that.
Fair enough. Now, the Australian newspaper has reported yesterday that you plan to step up de-radicalisation programs. What experience does AFIC have with de-radicalisation? And do you think this is a priority for AFIC given all the financial mess that you're in at the moment?
Look, this should be a priority for the whole community.
Is it a priority for AFIC?
It's a priority for all of us. I as a parent, would hate to see any of my children radicalised.
But should AFIC be the body that is actually running
AFIC de-radicalisation? AFIC will be supporting every community organisation that does it, and AFIC will... support that organisation with lobbying, provided that's a genuine, legitimate community organisation. AFIC has member societies that operate mosques. We represent those member societies. They operate mosques all around Australia. And they are placed in a very good position to make sure that the message in the mosque is the true message of Islam, the message of peace, the message of love, the message of goodwill, the message of outreach, reaching out to as many people as you can. We're here as saviours. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us in this country as saviours, not as people who condemn others. We're not here to condemn anybody. We condemn actions. But we are here to save. I don't want to condemn anybody to hell. I reach out and say, I want to save you from hell. And the last thing I want to see is any of my children, and by this I'm talking about anybody in the community who's at the age of my children, the last thing I want to see is any of my children being put at risk in some other country, either risk to their own safety or risking the safety of others. I don't want my child to be a killer where he might be killing an innocent person. Now, I don't want my child to be killed in that situation either.
And you think AFIC is the right organisation to do this?
AFIC is the best organisation to lobby for this. And it's our member societies that will implement. The best placed member society that has experience and reach to the young people, they will implement with our guidance and support. But AFIC will lobby. And AFIC is open. You could become president of AFIC. If you're a member of a member society, of course you could. You get nominated, you go through the process. AFIC is open to all Muslims, all Sunni Muslims. AFIC is, of course, unless they're part of a cult or...
Now, in closing, what is your commitment within AFIC as the new president to the Muslim community moving forward?
My commitment to the Muslim community moving forward is I would like everybody, give me some advice, make dua for me. I want to do my utmost to uplift the position of Islam in this country. I want to do my utmost to make sure that everybody understands that Islam is here for their salvation, Muslims and non-Muslims. And we've got the projects ready, the programs ready, and I want everybody to help me to unite this community. I don't care who becomes president. I don't care who becomes a member of the executive committee. Boot me out next election. I don't care about that. If I achieve even a small amount of unity in this community, then alhamdulillah, I've done something
elected,
good.
Okay, so you weren't actually elected. It was...
It's the same process, brother. It's the same process.
So is there Muslims that actually vote for the president?
The election is, as I explained, how did it happen when... I don't compare myself to any of the Khulafa. But how did it happen at the time of the Khulafa? Ashab al-Ra'i, the people who had the influence, like when they were appointed to select a Khalifa. Six people were appointed to select a Khalifa. In our situation, we had 10 people, 10 bodies. And who are these 10 bodies? The heads of Muslims in every state and territory around Australia. Somebody elected them. I didn't elect them. I only had...
Who are they? Who are these people?
Well, see, this is...
Give us the names.
I'm glad that you asked this question. Now, you asking this question shows that the community, the ordinary grassroots, are not getting involved with their Muslim societies. They should become members. I'll give you the names. But before that, I really have to get this off my chest. The grassroots have to get involved. Make us accountable. One of the key elements of Islam, one of the basic foundations is hisbah. Bring everyone to account. Bring me to account. Bring yourself to account before others. Am I doing enough for my religion? And then come to me and say, brother, you can do more. I'll help you to do more. These people, I'll tell you, the interim chairman of New South Wales is Brother Talal al-Sheikh. Brother Talal al-Sheikh has been one of the most generous donors to practically every community project and every mosque around New South Wales. And if people don't know him, then they are not involved in the Muslim community. In Queensland, Brother Ismail Kaji, well known around the Queensland mosques and has been contributing to the Muslim community for a long time. In Canberra, Brother Sabriya, four societies in Canberra, the people in Canberra know him. In Tasmania, Brother Kazi Ghulam Sabir, beautiful brother, originally from Bangladesh, very sincere, very devoted, elected by the brothers and sisters in Tasmania. In Victoria, Brother Bayram Aktepe, very decent brother. Turkish background, very, very nice brother, very dedicated. He's the chairman of the Islamic Council of Victoria. We go to South Australia, Brother Muhammad Ajib Idris. Very, very good brother. The people there know him. They've had some dispute about the chairmanship of the council there. It's all been resolved. Alhamdulillah, now he has combined many more societies under his council. If we go to the Northern Territory, Brother Ghulam Abbas. We go to West Australia. You've got Dr. Roti Bajnaid, who's here with us in the studio listening to this interview. We go to Christmas Island. Yes, Christmas Island is part of the AFIC structure, for those who don't know. Christmas Island, Brother Zainul Abidin. All these brothers had a vote. All these brothers had a vote the same way that when a normal vote is cast, they had this vote earlier this week. And 7 of them endorsed me unconditionally, and 3 of them said they endorsed me up for the next 6 months. So the 7... Of course, majority. I'm in this position until 2018.
And how many of these representees actually represent people who are grassroots?
They're the chairman of councils. It's their member societies that are voted by the grassroots. The member societies, which make, like, for example, let's name a mosque. Green Valley Mosque is a member of AFIC, right? The member society, the Green Valley Mosque is a member society. The members of that society vote for the executive committee of Green Valley. Then the Executive Committee of Green Valley ends up voting for who's going to be representing them on the Council for New South Wales. So it's a three-tiered structure. And, you know, I know our Mufti, we had been friends for, I don't know if you know, I've translated 4 books for him over the years. He said, not everybody gets to vote the same way. You don't get the drunk to vote the same way as a rational person. And alhamdulillah, we don't have drunks in our community. But if somebody's not involved in the community, it's their problem. They should get involved. I say to you, if you're not involved, get involved. Because on the day of judgment, if you're not involved, I'm going to say to Allah, Ya Allah, you gave these Muslims, you put them in my community, and they did not get involved. They did not try to correct me when I made a mistake. They did not try to advise me. I will be a hujjah on them on the day of judgment. Get involved. Get involved and then say to me, who votes for these people? Get involved. Vote for your local mosque. You know, some mosques in Sydney, and I won't name them, they don't even have elections, right? They don't have elections. Same committee over there. They change the date for the annual general meeting so that the same people stay in there. Where are the grassroots making them accountable? Where are you, brothers, sisters, listening to this? You know, I'm sorry to get animated about this, but it's like a deep wound in my heart that our Muslim brothers and sisters are not getting involved. We all need to get involved. We all need to make ourselves accountable. And I'm happy to be the first one to be brought to account. Make me accountable, not only for my mistakes, even if I do something right, if I could do it better, tell me you could do it better.
Kaiser Trad, the new AFIC president, thank you for being with us.
My pleasure.
And thank you for watching. Let us know your thoughts by commenting. And until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.